Welcome to New Narrative Southeast Asia Dispatches. I'm your host, Bonibel Rambatan, Editorial Manager for New Narrative. New Narrative is a movement to democratize democracy in Southeast Asia, and this podcast is one of the ways we attempt to do just that. In February 2023, Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Sen ordered the closure of one of the country's last independent local news outlets, Voice of Democracy, or VOD, saying it had attacked him and his son and caused damage to the country. VOD is one of the few independent and vital media outlets left in Cambodia since the media crackdown in the country circa 2017-2018. Silence of the press is one of the Cambodian government's strategies to stay in power. Freedom House observed that the 2018 Cambodian elections took place in, quote, an extremely repressive environment, end quote. The government maintains pressure on members of opposition parties, independent press, and protesters through intimidation, prosecution, and violence. The 2023 elections are even more important for Hun Sen and the Cambodian People's Party, or CPP. After serving as one of the world's longest-serving prime ministers, Hun Sen will hand over the post to his son, Hun Manet. He can only do it if the CPP wins the election. At the time of recording, VOD has announced they will, quote, start the rebroadcast of its news program via social media channels, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, from Monday, October 2nd, 2023. The daily program will be aired from 5:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. Cambodia time, end quote. While most important media have disappeared, Cambodians still crave important information. Most of them rely on other platforms they can access, such as social media. But what's the future like for Cambodians, both media workers and the public alike?
Okay, hello everyone. I'm Sothuet and I'm Media Director at Cambodian Center for Independent Media, a local NGO working to promote independent media and also freedom of expression and human rights and democracy.
That is Sothuet Eeth, Media Director at Cambodian Center for Independent Media, or CCIM. CCIM is a non-governmental organization promoting and defending media freedom and independent media through media development activities. In this episode, we will talk about media shutdowns in the shrinking democratic space in Cambodia, how media workers and the public alike are dealing with the situation, and how regional solidarity is really important to create change. We are talking about, you know, media crackdowns, media clampdowns, shutdowns, closures, and all of the things that's recently been happening in Cambodia. And I guess one of the big things that happened earlier this year was the thing that you mentioned, which was the shutdown, the closure of VOD. Can you tell us more about how that whole thing went down?
It all started with one article that I will... my team, the local language news team, they published one article about the fact that Cambodian provided aid to Turkey who experienced a natural disaster. And in that article, we based on one statement issued by the spokesperson office of the prime minister of the government. And then the reporter also called to the spokesperson himself to get more information, and after get all the confirmation, so we ran that article. 2 days later, let me give some information about article. So the article mentioned that based on the statement that the government was defending that the fact that Hun Manet represent his father, who was at the time was the prime minister, to provide that aid to Turkey was not wrong. So in that story, the spokesperson also like explained why it was not a problem. And 2 days later, the son of the former prime minister, and who is now the prime minister of Cambodia, he went to Facebook and he posted publicly demanding a VOD to provide the evidence of proof that he signed on the document to provide the aid to Turkey. And after that, in the evening, his father, the former prime minister, also used Facebook to like demand VOD to provide that kind of proof, or else they should we should like apologize to his son, or he will shut down VOD. So after discussing, actually we also had a few conversations with the spokesperson himself, and we already reached some kind of agreement, or we found a way to deal with that, but it didn't turn out to be okay. But so and the end result, which you can see that the government shut down VOD.
Yeah, so as far as I understood, you made attempts to actually, you know, reach out and do the apology, but it was rejected or something, and then you did get shut down anyway, yeah?
You know, actually, the spokesperson, when that thing happened, the spokesperson himself, he reached out to us to clarify things. And then we, like I say, we tried to find a way out, but it didn't really work like that. And yeah, of course, in our second letter that we apologize directly to the prime minister, the former prime minister, but they shut us down anyway, and they used the reason that we didn't apologize them in the first place. Yeah,
right. Yeah, but this is also, I mean, it was a pretty big thing in Cambodia, and I guess in the rest of Southeast Asia. I mean, we kind of like heard about it, but it's not the first thing, right? It's not like it's not a new thing for the Cambodian government to be doing all of these things, to be doing like shutdowns and stuff. Because as far as I understand, even ahead of the 2018 general elections, they shut down Radio Free Asia and VOA as well, the Khmer broadcast of VOA. Can you tell us about how these events happened? Was it like a similar situation? Was it a different thing?
It is somehow similar, you know, because in 2017, the government ordered all radio FM stations to stop broadcasting independent media and also, I would say, critical media. I say critical media here because it may be some they are aligned with other political party like opposition parties, but they are critical voice about the government. And so I think more than 20 radio stations were revoked the license or were not allowed to run the airtime to independent news. That also include VOD, which at the time also operated or air its news program through FM station. So, and then this year also before election, it's last time it was almost half, more than half a year, you know, when they did that. But this time it's around half a year because VOD was shut down in February and the election was in July. So it's maybe like 6 months. Eh? And then if we can see the two connection is that after the shutdown or the closure of independent media, we can see that in both year, the main opposition party were not allowed to compete in the election.
Yeah, so there's this pattern of like media shutdown prior to elections, right? But at the same time, as I understand, you also have, actually, you have the law for, you know, for censorship and constricting the free flow of information. And I think like some people, spokesperson for RFA also spoke up about that, you know, this isn't right. So if you do already have the laws against those, are you guys fighting back? What's been the discourse like there in Cambodia?
We don't have much hope if we turn to the justice system. That's why we didn't really fight for that. I mean, we didn't choose that way. We just tried to find other ways that we hoped that we can get VOD reopened or reinstated. But unfortunately, it was not really a successful attempt. And I think I can give an example just of like right after the shutdown of VODs, one high ranking like top leader of one country visited Cambodia, and they did raise the issue to the prime minister, and he said, I'm sorry, it was an internal issue. So it seems like there was no hope at all, because he already stated that there's no way back.
Yeah, so right now, the journalists there in Cambodia just navigate by self-censorship, because we have been hearing some of the reporters from VOD and from like Cambodia, the Journalists Association also mentioned there's a strong atmosphere of self-censorship because all of these shutdowns. How do you feel about that? And how do you feel about this whole situation about, you know, there's, you mentioned international pressure, but then the prime minister said, you know, it's an internal affair. So how do you feel about that?
You know, honestly, as a, I myself was a journalist, so I'm really sad to see such a situation, and also the environment that all the journalists have to go through. And yeah, it's a very difficult situation for Cambodian journalists to work in now. And talking about self-censorship, I honestly I could feel it. I think not just recently, but a few years already. And just that with the shutdown of VOD, that sense of censorship would increase, you know, because we could see that more intimidation and more restriction are posed against independent media. I think the most recent case, you have learned about the one ministry reacted to the article by Cambodia, and they demanded the outlet to, you know, to make some correction or make some change to the article.
With those things in mind, with those kinds of situations in mind, you also, you know, you're media director at the Cambodia, you know, Center for Independent Media, right? Do you, like, as an organization, what do you, how do you respond to the situation? Do you go out and like provide trainings, for example, or maybe, I don't know, workshops to navigate around these self-censorship while still getting the point across? Or what's the work like there?
You know, after the shutdown, it was a bit, we were still in confusion. Because it all happened so fast. It came in like suddenly. So in the first 2 months, our priority was to find the way, and also what we're gonna do next. And of course we have been tried to utilize the resource that we have, and also maximize what they can do. So they want to share some experience, and then we also now after 3 months we have been conducting different kind of training to especially citizen journalists, because now we cannot produce the media content ourselves, so we turn to provide more training. Actually, we provided training to citizen journalists in the past, but now we just try to focus more. And in addition to that, we also started one database called Komnatra, where we store all the public data and public document related to government data, so people can go and access it easily. And but unfortunately, before the election this year, it was also blocked by the ISP following the orders from the ministry.
That's a bit funny, isn't it? Because like, isn't that publicly available data that people should be able to access, and also like the sources? It's not like you're hacking into some secret database and just leaking it, right? So What was the justification of like blocking all of these things?
I think in that the letter that the ministry sent to the ISP, and it was leaked to public and it was widely shared on social media, they ordered the ISP to block those that are those websites, including Komnatra, and they didn't make a specific reason for each website, but they make it as a whole. And they say, I think some of the reason are the those websites providing fake news or misinformation, and also the illegal. What is illegal? I think so. I'm not quite sure which one of the reasons that they have given to the ISP that applied to Komnatra.
Yeah, also, but there's a more recent update that, you know, VOD will be resuming its airings in around 2 weeks from this recording time. So I think that's a pretty new update. What do you think is going to happen with that? Like how did VOD manage to navigate around that?
Navigate around, what do you mean?
Won't it get like shut down again, or you know, won't it, because it will have all of the backlash afterwards, right?
Well, you know, when the government shut down VOD, they are I don't know how many ISP, but some ISP already blocked VOD website, so the accessibility of VOD website is not free anymore. It's not available anymore. And also, I'm not quite sure about social media like Facebook and Twitter or YouTube. Maybe it's going to be difficult for them to block. So resuming VOD, there could be some backlash, but I'm not quite sure how they can do it to block, because you know, because VOD was operating outside of the country, so I don't know how they can shut them down more. You know, this happened already in the past in like Radio Free Asia, who still operating from Washington DC, and Cambodia Daily also.
Yeah, because it is interesting to note how all of you know, this the media landscape, journalism and everything in Cambodia is still trying to get their messages across despite the massive massive crackdowns from the government. I want to turn to the public though. What do you think the public, what has the public reaction been in Cambodia? Because obviously with all of these shutdowns, they can't really find away. It would be difficult to find critical perspectives on the government. So would you say that the public is kind of, I don't know, bothered by that and just really trying to find ways through VPN, or are they too afraid to do that perhaps? Like what's the condition like there in general?
I think I would give a reference to maybe one study by the Ministry of Post and Telecommunication. I don't really remember exactly the figure, but very low percentage of Cambodian people have like basic digital literacy. So when we talk about VPN, I don't think there's a big number of Cambodian population who would be able to access this one, or they don't even know, they have no idea what is a VPN. So I think this for this one, it only apply to some academia, intellectual or social workers, like civil society staff, you know, and also maybe some university student. But for the general public, I think there are people who cares. And like I raised earlier, that social media is still accessible, even though credible news outlet who broadcast from outside, like Radio Free Asia and the Community Daily. And if you look at their number of views, they are quite popular, you know, because I think what the people need is like the other side of the story, because a lot of media outlet in, not a lot, most of media outlet in Cambodia, they are just like showing like some try to support or oppose the government. So people, they're living in the society and they're living in reality. When you live in the reality, you also want to hear what is other people talking about, what's going on in the country. And that's why there are a lot of people still trying to find their ways to get credible news or maybe critical voice. But I think there are also high level of self-censorship among the normal citizen. I mean, they refrain themselves from expressing their opinion. Some people, they just listen. But some people, they even go further. They are not to go and listen any critical news or critical information. You know, critics about the government, they would just say, I don't want to involve with this. And another important thing is that you, with the economic difficulties, you know, a lot of people, they maybe some, they say, oh, we need to feed ourselves first. Some, I think, but there are a lot of people who are still eager to get reliable and credible information.
With all of these conditions, though, when, you know, with the self-censorship and people still being afraid and just, you know, being more concerned about the welfare and livelihood compared to, like, daily welfare compared to, you know, the larger media landscape, it's all connected, it's all related, obviously. But what do you think is needed to actually push for change? I mean, how do you hope this situation will turn out? What do you actually need? Because, you know, it does seem like when the media is, like, censored and the public themselves are, yeah, they can consume some information via social media, but they're too afraid to speak up, then it's very difficult to expect, like, for example, like a massive movement there. And then you also say that we can't really rely too much on the justice system. So what can actually be done?
Well, because now we are going through some change, which just happened in 38 years, which means we have a new government, which consists of a lot of intellectuals, you know, those who have been educated, especially abroad, and mostly, I would say, mostly in Western country. So hopefully they should understand the importance of freedom of expression and also the value of democracy, you know. And also, there's some bad signs at the beginning, but hopefully, because they are still new to this job, so hopefully they will be able to figure out that this is not the solution, this is not the way. So, and they should open up to the public so that they themselves also get a sense or understand what is going on in the country and what do people really want, not just to listen to their subordinate and also the media who just try to do the propaganda for the government. And I remember one quote one wise man say, he said that, you know, some country fail because they always try to tell lies to the public. And by telling lies from time to time, they themselves, they believe the lies, and that's why they fail in the mission. So this should not happen or repeat it in Cambodia. It should be a lesson learned from for them to really serve the need of the people, and also so they can provide or serve people better and for the benefit of the country.
I don't know if this next question makes sense, but if they decide not to do that, if they decide, like, you know, we want to just remain in power, and we just let's say it turns out that you know they don't really care, or it's just as bad or even worse than the previous government, What is actually the worst case scenario for the people in this, you know, if you don't have media freedom, what can actually happen to the country? How can it worsen the situation at large, for example?
I think, you mentioned about the word in power. I think there are ways that they can remain in power, and no, it doesn't mean that if you want to be in power, you have to silence the people, right? Because it already happened in other country, but I'm not saying it would happen in Cambodia, but I mean, as a leader, you are there to serve the people, you serve the country, right? And to answer to your second question, without independent media, people will, I think, let's put it this way. Cambodia is a democratic society. We adhere to democracy principle. So one of the main principle or the basic of democracy is the people, you know. And when the people cannot exercise their fundamental rights, and fundamental freedom is to like freedom of expression. So how can we have a healthy democracy? And also when the people, I think when people cannot speak, cannot exercise their rights, and then they would be living in a situation where they cannot, you know, they might live with stress, you know. And also, how can they fully participate in the process of the development of Cambodia, because they don't have any reliable or credible news and information about what's going on in the country. And also, when people refrain from expressing the opinion, like you raise a child, your child is scared of you, and when he or she has problem, he dare not to talk to you. So, and how can you solve the issue? And then your child will end up grow up as a depressed person or undeveloped, you know, the brain cannot develop much. So it will be the same. And for Cambodia, I think I wish all the best that it nothing bad happen when people in too much depression or too much difficulty that they cannot bear it.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting analogy, that, you know, a country is not going to grow up with healthy people if the people can't speak, if the people, you know, don't have adequate sources of information. So I guess, okay, returning to your point about, you know, because you mentioned when your prime minister was asked by some, you know, leader of another country, then they said that it's an internal issue, right? But I do feel like, you know, with enough international pressure from Southeast Asians, if we highlight the situation in Cambodia and we keep putting pressure that, hey, you know, it's not right to crack down on media freedom, and you did mention that the new people in power may be more open to the ideas of like media freedom and democracy and stuff like that. So yeah, would you say that it's also important for the people not in Cambodia, you know, the people in the rest of Southeast Asia or perhaps in other parts of the world, to actually speak up about this? Do you think that will be an effective strategy to get the government to open up more? Or yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it do. It does have effect on one another. But unfortunately, we can see the trend in the region that a lot of country in the region are doing similar things. That's why we cannot rely on other government, but maybe civil society and also the people in the region, they should like show their solidarity and also support for one another, to ask for the government to be more transparency, more accountable to the people. And I would say it's a very difficult job, a very difficult task to do when we try to advocate to governments who are trying to copying one another, but copying the bad thing, not the good thing. So of course, civil society and also the people, they should give each other's hands.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that you mentioned, that we've also heard several times from activists and journalists across Southeast Asia, that governments are copying one another in terms of their tactics, like what is the most effective way to crack down on not only media freedom, but like democracy in ways that the people can't really wiggle under their thumb, so to speak. So I guess building solidarity also means that we need to learn from one another what is the most effective way to put pressure on the government, what is the most effective way to resist, stuff like that. Do you have any experiences on what has been the most effective way for you in your line of work in terms of navigating and resisting all of these?
Honestly, we just try to have this different collaboration in the region. But for the best experience, let me think. I don't think maybe there's not to share yet.
Yeah, and I guess that's fine, because we are, again, as you mentioned, we've already had a history of this throughout Southeast Asia, but it does seem like recently things are getting worse, and that's why we are demanded to like try a lot of new things, do a lot of new collaborations and see which one works. If we don't have a pattern yet, I guess that's just part of the process. We're still trying to find out what is the best way to go here. But on that note, though, and I guess this is also a question to wrap up the discussion, I believe that we have a lot of listeners who are concerned about the situation, who are, who have strong motivations to like continue to push for democracy in their respective countries, but also in Cambodia and also the rest of Southeast Asia. You did mention that some stuff about media literacy and digital literacy. You mentioned a lot of stuff about social media and how some people in certain countries might not be free enough to speak for themselves. But yeah, as an individual listener, or as if the listener is part of like a small group or a small collective or organization, what can the listener do to help the situation in Cambodia?
Okay, I think what they can do now is maybe first they need to pay more attention to what's going on in Cambodia, to at least show to the Cambodian people and the Cambodian government that people in the region care about what's happening in Cambodia and what is going on in the region. And secondly, when there are some kind of campaigns I think from time to time, CSO in Cambodia, they would do a kind of campaign. I think currently one of our working group called Access to Information Group, they're trying to have an online petition to ask the royal government to pass the law of access to information law. So I think this is kind of some kind of support that people in the region can show. Also, I think we can take what happened in Myanmar as an example. For example, if the people in the region see like a serious issue in one country, like Cambodia, I think like the crackdown on independent media. So they might be able to do kind of protest or any demand to the government or to the maybe the embassy in the respective country to ask for the government to reconsider and also to respect human rights and also freedom of the journalists. I think that at least this is the least thing that they can do.
It's interesting because on the one hand, it does seem like things are quite bleak, and things are quite bleak in a lot of angles in a lot of ways, right? Because, you know, having a media crackdown, have people being terrified of the government. But on the other hand, if we zoom out and take a look at things regionally, as you mentioned, taking the example of Myanmar, taking example of like these other countries and like paying attention to people in Cambodia, and it's like, hey, we're actually, you know, we are heading in that direction. And it's very important for us to pay attention there. And if the people inside the country can't do it, there's no reason for people outside outside of the country, in the neighboring countries, to not do it, right? To like building this regional solidarity and finding new ways, finding new angles. You mentioned protesting in embassies and stuff like that. I do feel like that's a strong but also underexplored angle. International pressure and regional solidarity, so that the government knows that, oh, okay, so it's not, I'm just not dealing with my own country, I'm dealing with a regional solidarity movement here, which I think is very important to keep moving forward. Yeah,
I think everyone should see it the same, that when something happened in one country, it's not the issue in the country, but the issue in the region.
Yeah, especially with a lot of governments like copying each other for all of those techniques. I think it's very important to really build that regional movement. Okay, so on that note, I think we can wrap up. It's a great note to end on. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Sothath. And that wraps up our discussion with Sothath Eid. If you're starting to feel like we keep singing the same tune here in this podcast, you're absolutely right. It always comes back to building regional solidarity. Southeast Asia is facing a similar set of problems, only with varying intensities. We should pay attention to our neighboring countries, because in a couple of years or even a couple of months, that could be us. If governments are learning from each other how to oppress people better, then we also have to learn from each other how to resist oppression, develop new techniques to pick up where others left off or are too afraid or at risk to take further action. If you are a journalist in Cambodia and you're experiencing violence, or you want to help other journalist friends who are experiencing violence, you can contact Cambodia, the Cambodian Journalist Alliance Association, through their contact page on the official website, cambodia.net. That's cambogia.net. Cambodia also provides legal assistance to journalists at risk. Alternatively, you can also contact the Cambodian Center for Independent Media, or CCIM, to get legal support. You can also join their training sessions, advocacy movements, and support the various other important work that they do. Find them on ccimcambodia.org. That's ccimcambodia.org. My name is Bonibel Rambatan, and this has been Southeast Asia Dispatches, brought to you by New Narrative and produced by Dania Udo. I'll see you around.